This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Before we get into this week's episode of Over the Influence, we just wanted to give you a heads up and a bit of a trigger warning as to some of the subjects that we talk about with this week's guest. We talk a lot about mental health, and our guest this week, Graham, refers to having suicidal thoughts. So if you decide that this episode isn't for you, we completely understand that. If you are indeed happy to carry on listening, we hope you enjoy the episode. It's brilliant. Welcome to Over the Influence. It's really good to have you listening wherever you may be on your alcohol-free journey. You might be completely alcohol-free, you might be sober, teetotal, sober curious, still drinking, wherever you are, doesn't matter. Really good to have you listening. I've been building up to this intro, I suppose, for about 6 months, and I've been saying week after week after week, I'm nearly 5 years alcohol-free, woohoo, nearly 5 years. I can now say it because it's happened. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England, and I am now officially 5 whole years alcohol-free.
Woo-hoo! And
woo-hoo! It feels really good. It's like half a decade. On the flip side of that, it means I'm nearly 50. Because I started doing this when I was 44. It's all really, really good in the alcohol-free hood. Never meant to be sober. Didn't want to live a life without alcohol, but I gave myself a chance. I went for 90 days, and here I still am, banging on about the absolute joys of sobriety. It's ace. I drank too much, too quickly, and far too often. And life has changed beyond belief, and it continues to do so. It's really good to be chatting about all things alcohol-free. Cannot wait to share our guest story with you today, because we love it. We get dead excited when it's a community member. Oh, Mr. Anderson, married man, how are
Hello.
You?
Very well, thanks. I'm Ben. I'm 35. I live in Liverpool. My wife is Gemma, because that happened last week.
Yeah.
Contract signed. It's a done deal, Shaz. It was a great day, wasn't it? You were there. You got a shout out in my speech.
It was brilliant. That was was possibly the highlight of my day, actually, getting a mention.
I got a big up yourself, Sharon, into my groom's speech.
Loved it.
And of course, the whole day was alcohol free. And we were talking about this in the premium pod, Shaz, that everyone said to me, oh God, the day flies. The day flies. Like, it's just, you start it and then suddenly your head hits the pillow. And it did. But at the same time, I don't feel like it went by in like a whiz or a blur. Like, I really do feel like I was there for every single bit of it. And, I don't know if that's the just kind of my personality or the fact that I wasn't drinking on my wedding day. But great day. Love seeing you there. It was a cracker, wasn't it? We'll talk about it more in detail in the premium pod. You
know, it was ace.
Probably for a few weeks. Yeah.
We've got content for months, to be honest.
Yeah. But no, I gave up booze over 3 years ago now, and it's the best decision I ever made. We need to get to our guest today. Shaz, can I just quickly say, it's hot here in Liverpool today. It might be the last hot day we have. So yeah. My window's open. I've just heard a plane flying over, but it's okay. We do this recording on Zoom. I'm just thinking the same plane's probably about to fly over Graham's head because he's just down the road from me in Liverpool. Go on, you do the big intro, Shaz.
Right, no problem. I'll just quickly reference it now. I'm just squeaking on my chair because my knees are very, very sweaty. It is as
it's sweaty
as the Earth's core in this recording studio, a.k.a. the boiler room.
The boiling boiler
about,
room.
Yeah, the boiling boiler room. Enough about our working terms and conditions. It's a hellhole. Let's get back to the matter in hand. It's really bad. This main podcast always has been about the guests, and week in, week out, it's about sharing our guests' story. They're all brilliant. They're all absolutely fantastic. And if you've not listened to them all yet, go back and fill your flipping boots. There's tons. But what's always really special for me and Ben as hosts as Over the Influence is when we get to speak to an actual real life Over the Influence community member who is flipping, smashing it. And maybe in the, you know, early days beginning, possibly didn't expect to. So we're chuffed to bits to introduce you on the podcast today to Graham Ashton, who is from Liverpool, just down the road from our Ben. Graham, welcome. How the hell are you?
Yeah, thank you. Really good. Yeah. Really nervous all day, but no, bring it on. Come on.
Right, okay. Let's get this out of the way. You're amongst friends, okay? Just pretend, I don't know, there's one person listening. It's absolutely fine. There's hundreds of thousands, but don't let that put you off, Graham, okay? It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. It really is, and please don't be nervous. The first question, I suppose, is, have you recovered from Ben Nevis? Because you were one of 24 other community members that was at the top of the UK's highest mountain with us just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it did take me quite a while. It took me about a week to my legs to recover, really, and a week mentally to recover, because I really enjoyed the weekend and like kind of was on a bit of a downer afterwards because it was so good. So yeah, but I'm back to it now, so I feel really good. Yeah,
amazing. I can assure you that climbing Ben Nevis will be more difficult than recording this podcast yeah. with me and Ben, I promise you. Before I suppose we get into your story and what brought you to Over the Influence, let's just stick with Ben Nevis for the moment, because not only was that a big weekend in terms of a physical achievement, it was a massive weekend for you, wasn't it, personally?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I celebrated on the day of Ben Nevis, celebrated a year alcohol-free, and I can't really believe that I'd done a year. It's totally blew my mind, to be honest, that one whole year without a drink. I just couldn't believe it, to be honest.
Why?
And you were on, it wasn't like, sorry, Shaz, just clarify, it was on the exact day, wasn't it? But it wasn't like, the week of.
No.
You were on the top of Ben Nevis on your 365. Yeah. I don't think I've heard a better one than that.
It's so mad.
And another community member messaged me saying, is it really? Are you just making that up? But no, it was actually 365 on top, yeah.
And Shaz, sorry, you said why?
Well, yeah, I wanted to know why. Why were you so surprised? Did you think that maybe it wasn't possible?
Just like for the last 20 years, all I've known is to drink of a weekend, like, and then to do 52 weekends of not drinking, it just blows my mind. Just to change my life round and not drink for 52 weekends is just like, I can't even describe the way it feels. It's amazing.
What did it feel like at that moment when you got to the top of Ben Nevis? Because and as well, we were eaten alive by 3 billion midges, the weather was awful, that the slog in itself was hard. How did that feel, that moment, with those two massive achievements?
I just felt very cold because it was absolutely Baltic at the top, and I never put any layers on until about 3/4 of the way up, so I was freezing, so I tried to get myself warm, which I couldn't. My wife had surprisingly put a card and some cakes in my bag celebrating my 365.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, but she, when I got down to the bottom, she was like, oh, did you light the candle? Did you open the card? I was like, no, I was too cold. I just wanted to get my gloves on and get back down. So that was my that was my celebration. But yeah, it's kind of like I did have a bit of a tear in my eye when I got to the top, to be honest. Just like seeing the card and seeing the cakes and the nice message inside of my wife, and that is like just so worth it. The year that I've done, it just totally changed my life around. It kind of like had a bit of a minute to myself just to remember what it used to be like and how hard I've worked this year. So
I love that we're only a few minutes in and we've already had our first Liverpoolism. It was absolutely Baltic. So I had to learn, honestly, I had to learn a whole new language when I moved to Liverpool, especially for our overseas listeners. Baltic means, I don't know why, but it's absolutely Baltic means it's absolutely freezing. Yeah. Where's that come from, Graham?
I'm not sure. Just,
no, I don't know.
It's just a Scouse word, isn't it?
Yeah. We'd say that, though, like in Lancashire. Oh, absolutely. Would you? Yeah, okay. I'm with Graham.
It was in Northern.
Yeah, it was bloody Baltic.
I'll keep my ear open for any kind of translation things I need to do here, Graham. But you know what? Speaking about Liverpool, one of the things that I noticed when I moved up here, well, there's lots of things that, you know, make Liverpool quite a unique place. You know, it really isn't like anywhere else I've ever been in the world. One of the things that I love about Scousers and the city is that, you know, they live for the weekend here. You know, they work to live. They don't live to work. What was it like growing up as a young man in Liverpool, in a city which is very much about kind of, I mean, it's about going out on the weekends, isn't it? It's about where you're seen, what you're doing, what trainers you're wearing. You know, there's a lot of things that, there's kind of a lot of pressure to go out and have a good time here, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. So since I left school, I actually started working in a pub, just glass collector and stuff like that at 16, while I was doing like college work and stuff. And then I left college and started working in other jobs, but still doing glass collecting. So every weekend I was in a pub environment type thing. But because I was working every weekend, I was still drinking of a weekend in work and stuff, because we could have a few drinks and stuff. But then I was going out during the week as well to like the cheap nights out. Like say in Liverpool, we used to have a walkabout night out on a Monday. And then Medication was a club in Liverpool. I think it was Cream, the old Cream, which was Wednesday nights. And then Thursday nights were student nights, and then Friday, Saturday was working again. So every night of the week in Liverpool was busy.
Until like 3 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? It's not like, you know, oh, everywhere close. You can go out somewhere, but it closes at 11. You can stay out all night on, well, every night of the week if you want to, can't you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So every night we obviously worked the weekend, we were out after work, and then obviously with my mate, to all students, we done all the student nights and stuff. So yeah, so there wasn't really any downtime really, so any night of the week we could go out and drink, and we did. We used to go out like 3, 4, 5 times a week and drink. So it's a very lively city and a very nice city to live in and a very nice city to go out in, and we definitely made up for work on the weekends during the week and things.
When did you start kind of getting to the point where you realized that your drinking maybe wasn't doing you any good now? Like, because you're right, it is a nice city to go out in, you know, it's everyone's up for it, the venues themselves are excellent, the people who run these venues have been doing it for a long bloody time, they know exactly what they're doing. Like, you're right, and it's something that we pride ourselves on here in Liverpool, that people come to the city, they go out for the Stag and the Hendus or whatever, and they go, bloody hell, that is a great place to be, you know. But and it's on our doorstep. When did it start changing for you?
So, like I said, I worked in a pub, and when I got to 18, I started to work behind the bar. And I started to work behind the bar full-time. Then I left college, I left all my education and stuff, and I started working behind the bar. And then as the months went past, people started to leave in, like, management roles. So quite quickly, I got promoted to a supervisor, and then I got promoted to an assistant manager of the pub. So at 18, 19, to be given keys to a pub when the owners don't really, they aren't really about. They've got a caravan in Wales, so they're away every weekend and leaving an 18, 19-year-old man to run a pub, to lock up, and basically to have stay behinds most weekends. So because I was in charge basically most of the time, I used to drink every night. I used to drink because I used to have to open up the pub of the morning, then other staff would work during the day. And then 5 p.m. to like 12 p.m. was my shift. And I used to have a couple of drinks during work. And then every night, the pub used to get locked up. And then every night was a stay behind, basically. So every night I was drinking excessively, really. Like every night.
From 18?
From 18, yeah. So, but even before then, like, my mum and dad split up when I was 15, 16. And for my, the way to see my dad at the time was to go to the pub. When we used to see my dad once a week, twice a week, we used to go on like nights out of the weekend, because since I was 15, I've looked like this. I've always looked old, so I've always been able to get served, to go out on nights out and stuff. So to see, basically to spent time with my dad. We used to go on nights out. So from 15, 16, I used to drink quite a bit, but then it really ramped up when I was 18 and I worked in the pub. And that went on for about 2 years until, well, the pub got sold on and I left after that. But for 2 years, I basically drank every night because I had the keys to a pub and unlimited stock. I paid for my drinks. I'm not going to say I robbed all my drinks, but I paid for all my drinks. But yes, it was 18 to 20. It was a free-for-all, really, for 2 years. And when I got to about 20, I started experiencing, like, I was throwing up every morning. And it was not great, to be honest. I was throwing up bile and blood and things like that. And that kind of gave me a wake-up call that I can't drink 10 pints a night. And I know I'm young, but I'm not indestructible. So that's when I met my... Because I've got a daughter who's 15 and a daughter who's 2. So my daughter who's 15 is with my ex-partner. And I met her when I was 20, 21. And that saved me from basically becoming addicted to alcohol then. And it calmed down a bit then. I was still going out at weekends and things like that. But it wasn't excessive as it was when I was working in the pub. So that kind of helped me get back on the straight and narrow and stop me everyday drinking and just become a weekend drinker, which obviously still isn't great, but it was better than what I was doing.
Graham, do you mind me asking, how old are you now?
37.
You see, you're dead young. I'm loving this. Absolutely loving it. I'll just squeeze it in. You're brilliant. You're young. You're doing it.
And you look young as well. You said I always look like this. I've always looked old. But Graham, I have to say, you are reversing it.
You are.
A lot younger this year than you did this time last year.
Definitely, yeah.
You look fantastic, but I know probably none of this is about the way you look. It's about the way you feel, isn't it, now? I'm going to ask the same, pretty much the same question that Ben asked then about when it started to change for you. And it's interesting to hear that through your 20s, or early 20s at least, late teens to early 20s, you know, obviously you had access to probably as much booze as you wanted to drink. And then you had your daughter, your first child. Let's fast forward to your 30s, because you made a decision to change everything at the age of 35, 36, depending on when your birthday is. Why then? Why did you continue drinking for another decade? And why did you make the change?
So basically, since I can remember, I've always suffered really bad with hangovers. So when I got to maybe 5 years ago, maybe, I started to have a look at why am I drinking? Why am I doing this to myself? Because my hangovers were... It was the worst feeling ever. I used to obviously throw up of a night, blackout, throw up the next day. And it wasn't a very nice feeling. So I kind of like want to just think, why am I doing this? Why am I putting my body through this rigmarole of feeling horrendous feelings? So a few years ago, I can't remember how I got onto the podcast. I've either searched for alcohol-free podcast, or I've listened to one of your podcasts, Ben, and there's been advertisements somewhere along the line anyway. So, but I ended up...
You've mentioned that to me before. Yeah. I think we don't do it anymore, but we did a podcast called Men Lose Weight. Was it that one?
Might have been that one, yeah. 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 So somehow I've found the podcast, and I listened to it religiously for a couple of months and stuff, and I really, like, got the bug. I thought, I really want to do this. I really want to give alcohol free life a go. And then lockdown hit, and I still worked through the whole of lockdown, but because the weather was so nice and there was a restaurant at the top of my road that used to sell takeaway pints, so that was like a big, we're going to get some takeaway pints, and my wife got takeaway cocktails and things like that. She used to sit in the garden just like having a few pints, having a few cocktails, and then waiting in the queue at Tesco for an hour to get your shopping. And because you're waiting an hour to go to shops, you stocked up on all your beer and your wines and your spirits. So all that was in the house as well. So then we used to drink all that and things to the next shop. And it just got pretty much out of hand. We were just on this big holiday, we thought, because it was so nice and the weather and stuff. We didn't have me youngest daughter then either. So after a few months of lockdown, I actually thought again, right, I want to have a look at my alcohol intake. So it comes to the podcast episode of Moderation. that Ben done.
Oh, brilliant.
I actually thought it was a great idea, to be honest. I thought, I'm in for this. Like, I'm going to do the 20 and 2020.
Do we need to explain this? Has anyone heard this by now, do we think?
Should I explain it, or do you want to explain it?
No, I think you should, Sharon, because you get particularly passionate about this episode, don't you?
And you know what? There's two parts to this. One, it was brilliant because I found it hilarious because I knew it would be a shit show too. However, it set you on the path to an alcohol-free life.
It did.
Bloody look where Graham is now. So, I do laugh. And if anybody comes at me, oh, that bloody Sharon on the podcast and your strong views on moderation, yes, doesn't work for me. For me.
And or didn't Ben. Didn't work for me. Yeah.
Or Graham,
yeah.
So.
it does work for some people. It doesn't work
for us.
Yeah, it
does. Absolutely.
The idea of 20 and 2020 was that, because Graham, I remember, I know, because I dropped the OTI flag off to your house through the day so you could take it up Ben Nevis. So I know exactly where you live, not in a creepy way, but I know the exact takeaway beers and cocktails place that you're talking about, because we went to the exact same place. We used to live just a few roads down from you. And I remember the excitement when that place opened. But 20 and 2020, for me, it was around that same time. I'd done exactly the same thing in lockdown. And before that, I tried to say, right, I will choose 20 days where I'll have a drink. So I was drinking not every day, but I'd go out and I'd have like a beer at lunchtime just because someone else had ordered a beer from work. And I'd be like, why am I doing that? Like, so I thought, right, 20 days where I'll choose to have a drink in 2020. The problem was, Graham, that place at the end of your road opened up and, you know, lockdown. And I'd realised it was about middle of March, back end of March. I'd already used up my 20 days and I had none left. And I thought, right, that's not worked, has it? So that was 20 in 2020. And it's never supposed to be, you know, well, I suppose it was supposed to be at the time. Just thinking back to it now, at the time it was supposed to be, this is my clever way of cheating it and getting around the system.
Yeah, but it's good in many ways because that's where the seeds are planted. Because you are thinking about it, although it was just one of my most favourite episodes. And you love a name, don't you? It was just so, so good.
Love a name.
So go on then.
Yeah. You were inspired, Graham, to do something similar.
Definitely, yeah. I lasted a bit longer than you, Ben, but it wasn't much longer, but might have been 3 or 4 months. I used me 20 days. And then lockdown kind of started to ease and there was this whole, like, you can go for a meal for 50% off and stuff like that. And I kind of just got back at it the way I was. And that was pretty much the same weekends drinking again for another few months. And like, we'll probably speak about later, like, my mental health then just really took a dip. Really struggling and really in a bad place. So I kind of wish I give up then, but probably wasn't ready still, but I finally got there in the end. But, yeah, so that was me for the next 6 or 7 months until I felt that bad that I thought I need to really now look at my relationship with alcohol.
It's really interesting hearing you talk from touching on when you were 15, 16 to 18 to in your 20s and in your 30s. And what I'm hearing from this, it's like a slow and steady decline. It's not like, boom, rock bottom. You know, it just got a bit worse and it got a bit worse. And if you're happy to, Graham, I would love you, only if you feel comfortable, to share about the plummet in your mental health, because that's come over years, hasn't it? And so many people, but I think a hell of a lot of young men drink thinking it helps your problems, it helps your anxiety, it helps the depression. It's like pouring bloody petrol on a fire. I'd love to hear from you and where it took you with the alcohol. But on the flip side of that, of course, we're going to talk about where you are now.
So probably over 10 years, I was taking antidepressants. When I got to about 25, I felt really low and I got told to obviously go to the doctors and things like that. So the doctors prescribed me with antidepressants. And I was a bit dubious about taking them first, thinking, oh, I don't need the tablet, but I needed something to help me because I was just weren't feeling right. I weren't feeling great. I was feeling really down. So I started taking them. And yeah, they do help. But they're a crutch. They don't provide you with your genuine feelings, I don't think. even though I was taking antidepressants, my mental health was getting, it was a bit better, but it still weren't great. It was still low moods, dark places. So I thought I needed to go one step further. So I've started seeing a counsellor. Great. Loved, you know, talking and stuff, and got loads of things off my chest and loads of things that I wanted to speak. And I felt really better. She gave me loads of techniques to try and help with my anxiety and depression, which if you're right frame of mind work, because you can put them into practice. And obviously, eventually you stop seeing the counsellor because everything seems to be better again. But my mental health started to deteriorate again. I went back to the doctors. I got my medication changed because obviously the first ones weren't working. So I got ones that basically send me to sleep in the night, so I need to take them in the night. They started working a bit better, but still, I still weren't feeling great. I still weren't, they weren't working like I hope they should do. So again, I've gone to Association Liverpool called Talk Liverpool, which is big on mental health. And they sent me for CBT training, which is, it was a group session. It was like 6 weeks in the city centre, and again, more techniques and trying to help you get through the bad times and stuff like that. And with other people on the course, you kind of like get a bit of a community and share tips and stuff. And I really enjoyed it, and it was really good. Good 6 weeks, but obviously the 6 weeks ends feeling better. And then the last couple of years, my mental health took another dip, but worse than ever. Suicidal thoughts were twice. I never thought about killing myself. Like, I wouldn't do it, but twice I thought, I don't want to be here anymore. If I say tomorrow that I would have got a terminal disease or terminal illness, I wouldn't have been that bothered. I would have been quite happy to go. And that's the way my mental health went at that time. It was really bad. So I've tried like all the exercising and the eating healthy, and I've lost weight before, and that's helped for a little bit. Slowly but surely, it all comes back to your mental health's not great. So I end up seeing another counsellor, which actually I started when I started OTI. I actually started with a counsellor, and I was doing the 7 o'clock Saturday Zooms with Sharon, and I think Neil took a couple on a Saturday morning. I was doing that 7 till 8, and then going to see my counsellor 8 till 9. That worked again. Obviously, it does work, but something else was affecting my mental health. And the only thing I never give up was drinking. I've gone through the whole of my life drinking. I've tried everything and anything to try and get my mental health better. And the only thing I never done was give up drinking or even have a break from drinking. So that was my last resort. That was the only thing that I had left to do. And I was feeling really awful one weekend, and I was really tired, and I was sleeping lots. And so I thought, I'll go to the doctors. I'll see if they can send me for blood tests and see if there's anything wrong with me. So they sent me for blood tests, got the results back. And basically, I had a fatty liver, which is, I don't think it's a technical term, but I had a fatty liver, and the only way of correcting the fatty liver was to stop drinking. There was no other alternative. They basically said, you need to stop drinking, and we'll send you for a scan in a couple of months, and we'll see how you're getting on. So we're like, great. So then I had to negotiate then not drinking. And because all my friends drink, my wife drinks, my mum and dad drink, my mum and dad's partners drink, I had no one there to help me. I had no one there to support me. Obviously, my wife, can't thank her enough. She used to be my absolute rock, but she was still drinking. So I don't know whether she got it at the start, but I just needed that bit of help from someone to get me through this. And that's when, the month later, I joined OTI. Obviously, I was listening to the podcast, and then because I had to catch up on a few podcasts, the obviously community, I hear about the community a bit later on. So I thought, yeah, that's a bit of me. That's how I joined the community. And that was September last year, so a year ago. And that's helped me get to where I am today, to be honest. That without OTI, I wouldn't be where I am. And I can't thank OTI enough for what Ewan, Sharon and Ben do, and all the Zoom hosts do, all the people that comment on the forum post, because I'm quite a serial poster. I like to post, I like to get my thought out. Good and bad, I've been a bit of a mixture over the last year, but there's always helpful comments, there's support, there's advice, and without it, I don't think I could have done this by myself.
We're just going to take a really quick break from this fabulous episode with OTI community member Graham. He's got a lot to say, hasn't he, about the community? It's just, it's fab. He's why we exist. His story, the way it's helped him, the missing piece of the alcohol-free jigsaw. It is so, so good. Coming up, Graham shares a little bit of news, actually, about the community. And as well, also talks about how other community members have reached out and offered support and given him guidance on things that are not connected to alcohol-free life. But these things wouldn't be happening had he not made that decision to join Over the Influence. It's so good, Ben. I love it.
I love it. Yeah, I was thinking, actually, we've had quite a lot of community members on recently, haven't we, on the main podcast? But it's because we've got quite a lot of community members these days.
Yeah, like people from all over the world.
Yeah, which is amazing. And you know what? You definitely get out of it what you put in. I think if you just, you know, come on, pay you 20 quid, or if you want to do it, 200 quid a year for your annual membership, if you just pay your money and then don't do anything, then it's not worth it. You know, you've got to get stuck in. And I remember when Graham first joined, and it must have been his first week. He was on one of my Zoom calls and he was really quiet. Yeah, was. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure if this guy's going to enjoy this. God, I got it so wrong.
You know, you couldn't have been more wrong.
He was just nervous. I totally get why, you know, right. Okay. So I'm making this huge choice and you come on and there's all these people being, you know, buzzing. Oh my God, alcohol free life. It's great. It's fantastic. You know, I suppose in the early days, you're thinking, I'm not really feeling that way at the moment. And I hope these things will come. But right now, you know, this is hard. No one in my life is doing this. This is tough. Look, Graham is thrown himself in. Like, he's not just there on Zoom calls all the time. He's not just in the forum all the time. He's coming to our events and he's organising his own.
Yeah,
you know, brilliant. He's made all these amazing friends in the community and he's always doing stuff with them. He's just a top, top bloke. Really, really like Graham. I mean, need to get back to his episode because it is fab. Just to say, if you do want to join us, if you're a bit nervous, it's fine. Look, you know, you just throw yourself in. See what happens. Overtheinfluence.co.uk is where you can find out all about us. That is overtheinfluence.co.uk, my advert voice. And it's £20 a month or £200 a year. We don't tie you in. There's no contracts. If you join and then go, you know what, this isn't for me, no worries. That's cool. Like, we hope it is for you. Of course we do. If it isn't, no stress.
No problem.
But it, who knows? It just might be life-changing. As Graham's going to say later, it's a game changer.
It is a game changer.
It could be game changer.
It is a game changer. And what's the worst that could happen? Okay, it's not for you and it's 20 quid. C'est la vie. Okay, what's the best that can happen? Well, continue listening to the rest of this flipping episode and indeed many, many other chats with our amazing community guests. Just thinking back very quickly, Ben, to what you said about when Graham first joined the community. I actually think he might have had his camera off. And his mic off. I think he might have just listened on those first couple of
Zoom calls. Which is absolutely fine.
Zoom calls, which is brilliant, which is what we say. You know, just come and dip your toe in. Peek your head around the door, see if it's for you. You'll hear just how far Graham has come with regards to those Zoom calls further on in this episode. So let's stop wanging on and get back to our fabulous chat with Graham.
So where are you today then, Graham, when it comes to your mental health?
So since Christmas Day, I haven't took any antidepressants.
Which we've got to say, you've obviously, you've been in touch with your doctor there, haven't you, at every stage?
Yeah.
You know, you've done this, yeah.
They've given me a plan to wean myself off them for like a month before Christmas Day. And then on Christmas Day, I stopped and I'd say I can count on one hand the amount of bad days I've had since then. So it's like 9 months nearly, probably 4 or 5 days. But the bad days now are nowhere near what they used to be. You know, like everyone has bad days. You know, it's life, isn't it? It's general life. No suicidal feelings, no really bad feelings, no staying in bed all day. I kind of got a plan that if I feel bad, I'll get up and I'll go for a walk or go for a run or I'll eat healthy. Or so I've got kind of like the right frame of mind now to get out of the bad days that I get in, but they're very few and far between them.
You stopped drinking because there was something physically that you, the doctor said, right, this is a physical thing. Fasting liver, you've got to stop drinking to help, because the liver does repair itself.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? We know that. Did you think at that point, was it purely the physical side of it that you were trying to improve? Did you think that the mental health would improve by the drinking, but by stopping the drinking?
I knew it would help. It's not going to get any worse. But at the start, it was just my physical health and thing. Just the shock of my body now is failing, that I need to do something about it. But it was feeling tired of the hamster wheel that Sharon talks about and the blackouts and the feeling awful all the time. And I was in the right frame of mind to give up eventually. Yeah, but first it was physical and then my mental health just started feeling really better. So that's why when you suggest to do 100 days, I thought there's no harm in just trying 100 days. And when I'd done the 100 days, I felt amazing. I felt, and I spoke about this on Zooms and on the premium podcast, that I was always a 5 out of 10. I was never any higher than 5 out of 10, sometimes lower, but on average about a 5 out of 10. And I thought that that was how you were meant to feel. I thought that was the norm. I thought everyone felt like I did, 5 out of 10. So when I got to 100 days and I started feeling more like a 7 out of 10, maybe an 8 out of 10, I was like, oh my God, this is what life can be like. And so I went back to hospital and I had me scan of my liver, and they basically saying they didn't know why I was there, because my liver had like recovered and it repaired itself and everything was fine with my liver. So I had a free pass if I really wanted to go back drinking. But because I was feeling so good and so pink cloud in my mind and so happy in life at that time, that I thought, why would I go back to even having a drink and going back to the way I was feeling? So I'm going to do a bit longer and see where it takes me. And it took me to, well, I'm over a year now and I'm still riding the wave and I'm still loving it. So
I'll tell you where it took you. It took you to the top of Ben Flipping Nevis. That's where it took you.
Oh, yeah. It's such a big topic, mental health, Graham, and it's one that comes up in all sorts of different ways and for all sorts of different reasons on this podcast. I think it's a very emotive topic when it comes to medication and antidepressants. And I think there are people who are very strongly for, very strongly against. Always speak to your doctor. Got to make that point again. I think what's really interesting, though, is that for you, and we've also had a comment from Mark in the chat box who said, Graham, I can relate to what you're saying. I've been through a similar thing. The only thing that sorted my mental health is not drinking, but it was never suggested. I was just given the tablets. I think we shouldn't, as a society, underestimate, just like Sharon said, just how much petrol on the fire it can be, alcohol, you know. And it's so normalized, isn't it? I wish that it was. You know, how are you exercising? You know, have you got a good routine? Is it healthy eating? Have you thought about not drinking? You know, I wish it was there a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Because there's not loads of us on this call tonight, but two people are saying that actually, you know what, in terms of the medication side of things and mental health, not drinking was the biggest impact.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I wish someone told me I had to stop drinking 5 years ago, but no one suggests it. You go to the doctors with different problems and you're basically told to fill out a form, but you can write any amount of units on that form. There's no way of knowing how much you drink or telling them you drink. So yeah, 100% agree. And I would advise anyone that if anyone's got mental health and depression and stuff, just try it. Just give it a go. And there's no harm in trying 100 days. And if it doesn't work and you still need medication, fine. That's your route that you want to go. But for me, giving up alcohol was what helped me get over my mental health problems and all basically every other problem I had in my life at the time. So I can't big it up enough. So
absolutely amazing. I'm really glad actually Ben asked a load of questions then, because I got dead emotional when you were talking about the community and just the changes in your life, because I remember you joining the community a year ago and you were obviously a bit anxious and a bit nervous and, you know, quite quiet on the Zooms. And I'll never forget, because I won't mention what you do for a living because that's private to you, but you would join us in the dark almost on these Zoom calls. And I thought, every credit for squeezing it in to your day, sort of like peeking from behind. There's Graham. And it's changed. And, you know, we've mentioned the fact that it's like a roller coaster to me. So when you were drinking, you were starting at the top and it just went down, right to the bottom. I'm not saying rock bottom, but you weren't in a good place. And then you stopped and you made a change. And then you've started to go up. And now you're at the... Well, it just keeps going up, actually. You're not at the top, because there isn't a top, because it just keeps going up. Alcohol-free life. This is the most ridiculous analogy I've ever thought of, to be honest. But that's how I see it with you. It's amazing. How would you sum up the positives that you've experienced on that ride back up the climb over the last 12 months?
All I can say is I've loved it. I've loved the way I feel at the moment, and I've loved just what I've been able to do by not drinking type thing. So just a couple like achievements like I've done since not drinking. I've obviously climbed the mountains with OTI, but I've done Snowdon by myself as well. So I've done all three this year. I've done numerous Wainwrights in the Lake District. I've run 20 park runs this year.
Brilliant.
And I've actually got my first park run this year was 35 minutes. And my last park run to date, I've done it in 22:06. So in 9 months, I've locked like 13 minutes off a 5K
Amazing.
Time. I've got plans now for next year with my fitness, because another community member put in the group that she wants us to do Edinburgh Marathon next year. So I thought, why not? I'll just sign up for it. So I've signed up for that. The Liverpool Half Marathon's on my birthday next year. So I'm just signed up for that. Just do it. Because I can and enjoy it, and it's my new hobbies now. I love walking up mountains, I love walking up hills, I love running, I love walking the dog. I just love exercise in general, and when I was drinking, I used to like those things, but I always struggled because of my weight, obviously not feeling great to get out, so you wouldn't go out because you weren't feeling 100%, so you wouldn't go out, so... Because I'm feeling great, it's making me go out. And sometimes when I know I've got to go for a run, say I'm in work all day and I know I need to get out early for a run, my alarm goes off and normally you snooze. My alarm goes off and I'll get up, get my kit on, and I'll get out, you know, because I can, because I'm not hungover and I'm feeling fresh. So I'm looking forward to the year two. And I know there's a few people I've spoke to in year two and the things that they've done in year two. I'm actually genuinely looking forward to where it could take me. Because I'm actually looking now to... I've changed my job since I've given up alcohol. In the same industry, I've just changed the company to a more flexible, more family-orientated business, which works for me and my family, which I wanted. And now I aim to change my job again, and I want more of a career now, I think. And I want a career in helping people. I want a career that helps people with maybe mental health or addiction or just general counselling or what I've been through the last few years. I just want to try and give back to those people. And last night I got a nice message off another community member who's a careers advisor, who said, send me your CV over, I'll have a look at it and I'll sort it all out for
love
you.
This place.
Oh. Sort it all out for you, and we'll get you going on, like, getting some... I'll need some extra qualifications and stuff, I know that, so we'll get the ball rolling anyway. So last night I spent all night sorting my CV out, and I'll send that to her tomorrow, and that started the ball rolling, really, to trying to change my career for the better. And
amazing.
I don't necessarily need lots of money, just really what I'm on now, and that's both trying to get something which more family-friendly hours, you know, weekends off to spend with my family, because they're my whys. They're my whys I do this, you know, my young daughters and my wife and my friends and my mental health. And if I can live in that moment with them and I've got a job that fits around that, that's what I'm looking forward to do now, year two. So,
you know what, Graham, before we talk a bit more about year two, can I just add one more achievement to your achievements list? Because when I came round the other day, it was lovely, actually, because we were having a bit of a chat on the doorstep. And then your wife ran out the lounge and went, "Hi, Ben, how are you?" And your wife comments on loads of the OCI stuff. I think you've got to put on your achievements list. Yes, you know, walking the three highest mountains in the UK, doing all the Wainwrights, the 13 minutes off your park run time, etc. But making your wife the second happiest woman in Liverpool, that's got to be up there. I say second because Jem married me last week, so she's currently in the number one spot. You know what I mean? She's over the moon, Jem is. But can you tell us a bit about your relationship? And, you know, don't reveal what you don't want to reveal, but I know that it has been a hugely important why for you. And your wife is just over the moon at the changes that you've made, isn't she?
It's like a new man, she says. I'm like a new husband. But, yeah, so we've been together since we were 22, so 15 years. And she has been my rock. She's helped me tremendously. And I've not always seen her. I've always thought she might have been having a go at me or things like that. And it got really bad a few years ago, well, probably 18 months ago, and we weren't really getting on. We were in a bad place as a couple, but even like giving up alcohol 100% saved my marriage. We've always got on. We've always enjoyed each other's company. We've always had the same interests and stuff. And I think just the way I was feeling for the last few years, mental health, drinking all the time, because when I come out on Instagram on the 365 to basically tell the world that I was alcohol free. I call myself a drunken knobhead, which I was when I was drunk. I was that drunk that I used to come home with some states. I was made a worried a few nights where I fell asleep in parks, and you know, we've had arguments because I've been drunk. I've, you know, missed things because I've been hungover. I was always that person that says, "I'm going out for one pint, two pints, and I'll come home 6 hours later absolutely steaming drunk." So I didn't help the situation, I know that. And 18 months ago, we were pretty much close to the end, to be honest, and we were not great. But she stuck with me through it all, and I can't thank her enough. And again, it makes me quite sad that I put her through that. But I don't want to live now with any regrets. I want to move forward. And since this year, I've tried to just be the best person that I can be. And like Sharon's always said, like, the best apology is change behaviour. And I'm trying to do that now. I'm trying to be a better husband and a better dad. And luckily enough, my young daughter's only two. So she's had a year. And she won't remember this in the future, but when she gets to 5, 6, 7 and she starts remembering stuff, she'll have a sober dad that's hopefully a fun dad, hopefully a dad that she can play with, and I'll be there, I'll be present, and that's what I wanted. And yeah, so like I've said, giving up alcohol has changed everything for me, family-wise and mental health-wise as well.
Amazing. Be proud. You should be so, so proud, because I tell you what, myself and Ben are, I sound again like a weird proud auntie. It's because it's true. And your story, you, Graham, everything about it, I can't get enough of it. It's amazing. And your story, what you've shared today, this is why we exist. This is why we do what we do. This is why we wang on frigging week in, week out about sobriety. It's life-changing. We're not lying. You're proof of that. We're just about out of time. There's two more things I want to squeeze in quickly, okay, before you go. You joined us, you know, when you were pretty early on in your alcohol-free journey. You've put the work in, you've showed up, you know, because it's not easy. You don't just join any community and go, right, what happens next? You've got to put the work in. You know, one aspect of that is not drinking. The rest of it is how you change your life around it and everything that you've got to navigate. We fast forward 12 months, you're now more than a year alcohol free. Tomorrow, for you and for us, it's a huge day, because what have you got going on tomorrow on our lunchtime call, Graham?
So, like I said, I want to start giving back and helping people and stuff. And so I just mentioned, just in passing on Sharon's Zoom last week, that...
Yeah, never in passing.
you can't mention anything. Everything gets picked up on, mate. I'd say that, written down, emails come through to me. Oh, guess what Graham's just said? So, lock him in.
In passing, I said I wouldn't mind starting hosting Zoom calls for OTI and giving back. And sure enough, the next day, an email popped in my inbox from Sharon.
You know.
When can you do? What days can you do? It was like, so we've organised the days anyway, and my first one's tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Got three members on there already, so waiting to start me off. So I don't know how good I'll be. I'll try my best. And it'll help me as well, help me keep me focused on alcohol-free life. And if I can help one person, that's all I want. If I can help one person on them Zoom calls, then I've done my job. And I think I've got quite a bit of knowledge and expertise on giving up drinking. So hopefully I can pass that on to other people and let's see where it takes us. Because that's what I want to do now in year two. And I want to give back. I want to help people. That's my aim for year two anyway.
And you'll smash it. And it's not a case of how good will I be. There's a reason we want you to do this. And you've just shared throughout this podcast that the reasons why. You will be a fabulous Zoom host. Full stop. End of. It's brilliant. We're so, so chuffed. Graham, Neil's mentioned in the chat as well, we could do 2 hours with you. We really could. But Neil's got a call to do with the community in around 5 minutes' time. Final thing then from myself and Ben. How would you sum up Over the Influence and what it's meant to you during the course of the last 12 months?
It has just been a game changer for me. Like I said, I had no one doing this and I still don't have anyone doing this with me. Everyone still drinks in my life. So just to have people on the end of the phone now, because I've made so many good friends and I've got so many phone numbers now that I can talk to someone if I'm having a bad day, a good day, advice, just the community aspect, just giving you good vibes all the time. Even just the podcast I've listened to, I've gained so much. Dan Parker and James Moon on Fancy Walk Mate, I've been on a walk with them. Suzanne Shaw, I took a lot from her podcast about the food intake that she used to eat and things like that. The members of the community that were on the podcast have took so much, like Neil's podcast, and I've listened to about 5 or 6 podcasts today just to try and get a grip of what we'll get asked on the podcast tonight. And none of it. I've got notes here that I've written down. I don't think I've used any of them. So
go on. What have we missed, Graham? What do you need to just read them out?
No, it's too much, to be honest. Just a sense of community, and it's like a big family, and it just helped me so much get to where I am today. And I can't thank the community enough. To be honest, it's saved my life and it saved my marriage. It's saved everything, really, and it's the best £20 a month I've ever spent.
Nothing further to add. And we've not paid him, by the way, to say any of that. It was his notes. Okay, he's made notes. Graham Ashton from Liverpool, more than 1 year now alcohol-free. You're an absolute legend, a fabulous community member. We're so pleased that you found the podcast. We're even more chuffed to bits that you found the community and dipped your toe in, and here you are. And Graham Ashton is now one of our OTI community Zoom hosts, and it's just absolutely fantastic. Graham, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Loved it. Thank you.
And there you have it, feeling all the feels once again. It's so special. It's so special hearing from community members and seeing it for our own eyes, the changes. And these aren't just little teeny weeny changes. These are big life changes. All come around because Graham made a decision to remove booze now, more than 12 months ago. And as he shared with you in the episode, you know, so many people are in the same boat, surrounded by people that still drink. You can feel like you are very much on your own. At times, this whole sobriety thing can be quite the lonely road. Find your people, find your tribe, join over the influence, and it could well be the missing piece to your alcohol-free jigsaw. And there he is, from very, very quiet on the Zoom calls, Ben, to now hosting his first Zoom with OTI. In fact, as you are listening to this, it will be later today. And it's brilliant. It's the best.
And he'll smash it out of the park. But Graham's, he's why we exist. You said it. You know, this is the reason. We watch people's lives change because they decide to do one very brave thing, but it is just one thing. To remove alcohol, you know, it's incredible what can happen. Everyone's journey, Shaz, is different. But my God, everyone that I've ever seen do this and, you know, stick to it and completely remove booze, good things happen. And then more good things happen. And good things keep on coming. It's just, we're not lying. All these people are normal people. They are not lying. Everyone that we have on this podcast, they're not lying. It works. If you want to give it a go, overtheinfluence.co.uk. That is overtheinfluence.co.uk. It's £20 a month or £200 a year. Sign up. Have a look. If it's not for you, fine. But we've seen that people join us. They make the connections. And that kind of peer-to-peer support is a really good way of making this thing stick. So have a look. It's not for everyone, but hopefully it's for you.
Absolutely.
Overtheinfluence.co.uk. Right, Shaz. Another episode in the bag.
Amazing. So, so good. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you've got any questions at all, if you're teetering, if you're thinking, oh, should I, shouldn't I? Ping me an email. I'll answer your questions. Sharon@overtheinfluence.co.uk. And as well, just keep your ears out on the stories. It'll be happening beginning of next month for the Friday Try Day. So if you want to know what the Zoom calls run like, we do a Friday Try Day where you can try us for free. On a Friday, you do it so much better than me and your pathetic radio voice.
It just makes me laugh. It's silly. It's daft, but it's
God,
fun.
I love it.
What's happening? It's not this Friday, is it? It's the first Friday of the month.
First Friday of October.
I have to wait. Yeah, I don't want to confuse people with the voice. Yeah. What's happening this Friday? It's so tempting to do.
Just go on, quickly.
Is it a normal Friday? No, it's a Friday Try Day.
It's just because I'm over the Friday Try Day. But it's not yet.
Friday, Friday, a Friday, Friday. Silly. Yeah.
Stop. We're confusing the issue massively. Pink.
Not yet. First Friday.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. But if you might be listening. Yeah. Just keep an eye on the Insta stories or ping us an email.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Sharon@overtheinfluence.co.uk. As always, it's been a pleasure. Have a marvellous week. And we'll be back with you same time next week.